If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
The whole world, there's no disagreement. It seems to be the worst times that we've ever experienced. Unqualified, evil, bad people that are making horrible decisions. Everything is corrupt, and there's corruption all over the place because Iblis and all of the worst are empowered in this very day and age, and they are on the verge of facing an international revolution. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Alayhi wa mahtina wa salam taslima. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My dear brother Luqman.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My dear father.
Thank you for joining me.
Thank you. It's an honor for me to be here.
The honor is all mine.
Please.
Luqman, today we're going to talk about a very important topic, and that is the topic of the Qiyam, or the rise. And I guess an appropriate place to start would be this idea or this notion that we find in the narrations of Muhammad and the family of Muhammad alayhim salam, that there are these two states. Two states as in two nations, two countries, right? Two states. One narration from the Ahl Bayt alayhim salam says that there are only two states. The state of Adam and the state of Iblis. And whenever it is the state of Adam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worshipped openly. And when it is the state of Iblis, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worshipped in secret. The narrations also state that the believers in the state of Iblis are oppressed. Okay, and they have very little, and they go without, and their condition is bad, and there are tyrants that are ruling over them. And in the state of Adam, you find them that they're in a state of prosperity and peace and freedom and enjoyment. Okay?
Yes.
Now, the idea that the narration mentioned and called the state of Adam, there's a few indications, there's a few reasons why it is called the state of Adam rather than the state of, let's say, Muhammad, or the state of Jesus, or the state of Moses, or any other prophet. One reason is because obviously, there's a reference to the story of Adam in the Holy Quran and also in the Bible and in the Torah, where in Genesis, God appoints Adam and gives him authority over all things and all beings. He is the perfect caliph who is appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that time. He is his representative. God blows in him of his spirit and grants him authority over all things, the authority to name things and the authority to command things. Even the angels, they have to prostrate and submit to Adam alayhi salam. And the fact that it's called the state of Adam means that that condition or that state in which Adam ruled over, the last time that it existed was in the time of Adam. It has not existed since then. Okay, so there's this idealistic state that existed in the beginning of humanity's history.
Yes.
Where Adam, the father of all modern human beings, was appointed as a judge and as a guardian, as a keeper, as a lord, as a ruler, as a king over the angels and the beasts and all other human beings.
Yes.
God gave Adam a command. He failed to listen to that command, and that was to not approach the tree. He ate from the tree, obviously. You know the story. And then that covenant was broken. His covenant with God had been broken, and he was banished, exiled outside of his kingdom, right? Outside of the garden. And he lost the authority which he once had. And because of that, Adam and Eve and his children, right, they were condemned now to work. Basically they would have to farm and work for their food, and the earth was cursed, and the earth no longer brought forward its fruits. And the narrations speak about how, in the state of Adam, if the people had wanted basically something from an animal, they would just will for it to be, for example, and the animal would obey, or they would call for the animal and the animal would obey and come forward in a peaceful manner and submit itself. If they wanted to, for example, present an animal for an offering, the offering, the animal would come forward and peacefully lay down its life for the sake of Adam, who's the king over it. But after the act of disobedience of Adam, it terrified all of the animals, and they no longer trusted mankind, and so they no longer became obedient. And now Adam and his children were condemned in a way to have to exert much effort, and they went from being rulers to more like hunters and farmers and slaves. Very soon after they were exiled out of the garden, it becomes apparent and it becomes clear that Adam lost his authority to rule over the people and over all the beings that existed on the earth. And the earth itself, no longer obeyed Adam. And a new ruler climbs to power, and that ruler is Cain, who slays Abel, and then he goes forward and he builds great cities and he assumes the throne of power, and his seed multiply greatly. And so Cain becomes the first ruler who's appointed by the devil. And that starts a whole new page in the history of humanity, whereby from the time of Adam's fall all the way down to this day and age that we're in currently, Iblis or Satan is the one who, for the most part, has had authority over the earth, in the sense of he's the one who's been ruling the earth. And that's why humanity and the condition that they're in has, and the condition of human beings and the condition of the earth itself, has become progressively worse and worse, because it is Iblis who is seeking to misguide mankind, because that was the promise that he gave and the threat that he gave to God when God was holding him to account and telling him that he was cursed now and that he had to leave, exit out of the garden. And Iblis basically asks for more time, right, before he faces the final judgment. So God accepts his plea because Iblis had worshipped God in many, many ways that all other beings had not. And God decides to give Iblis, an appointed time. He decides to reward Iblis for all of those good deeds that had come forth from him before by granting him authority in exchange for his deeds in this physical world. You see, Luqman, there's this concept in Islam and in the narrations of Muhammad and the family of Muhammad, that if a person, all right, if a person does good, that in order for God to be just, he has to reward him. And so for the believers, God will reward them, but most of the time he allows them to suffer in this world and saves the reward for the hereafter. As to where the disbeliever, because they don't have a share in the reward of the hereafter, if they do good, they must get their good in this physical world. Do you understand?
Yes.
Do you understand the concept?
Yes.
So here's the earth. Here are beings that are on it. Some of them believe in God. Others don't believe in God. Okay. So the ones that don't believe in God, they're granted their reward in this world. Yes. And because they're non-believers and because most of the time they are bad people that have done some good, then they have to receive their deed, but they receive it in this world. But because also they have a lot of bad deeds in addition to the good ones that they do, the condition of the earth becomes really bad, and it forbids the believers who do righteousness from having the earth as a paradise as well. So their paradise has to be in the hereafter. So essentially the earth becomes, has two states, a state where there is a just ruler who is Adam, right? And the rightful successors or heirs from Adam, when they are enabled, when they are ruling, they forbid oppression from happening in the earth. But when the disbelievers are being rewarded for their good and they are enabled and they're in charge of government, unfortunately, they oppress all of the creatures that are on there. And so the earth becomes a paradise for them because they are enabled and they have power. But because they're unjust and not appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they make the earth a living hell for all other beings. Okay?
Yes.
You get the idea?
Yes, well.
Good. So Iblis, he wants to lead mankind astray. The entirety of religion and the accomplishment of justice and a divine just state entails the following and obedience and pledge of allegiance to Adam or to the prophet, the messenger, the successor, the imam who is appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot achieve justice otherwise because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily, I'm making a caliph in the land.
Yes.
All right. He is the one whom says in the Holy Quran that he has not sent forward a messenger except to be obeyed. Right.
Yes.
And so it is the job of the messenger from God to establish righteous rule on the earth. Iblis prohibited that from happening after Adam's fall, and we see that it continues to be the case up until the time of Jesus Christ, alayhi salam.
Yes.
And that's why we have a scene in the gospel where Jesus, right after his baptism, he's led into the wilderness where he fasts for 40 days and 40 nights, and he's tempted by the devil in three temptations. And one of the three temptations was that Iblis tells him, if you just prostrate to me, Satan says, if you just prostrate to me, then I will make you ruler over the entire earth. So if Iblis wasn't in charge and have already authority over the kings and the queens and the entire earth, then how could he enable Jesus, peace be upon him? You see where we're coming from?
Yes.
And that's why also Jesus or the lookalike said in the Bible that this kingdom is not his, all right? Because this was the kingdom that was currently, on the earth. The earthly kingdom was a kingdom of the devil. It was a kingdom that was ruled by people such as Pontius Pilate and where oppressors like them were enabled.
Yes.
Okay. So now we've established very clearly that the narrations spoke of two states, a state of Adam and a state of the devil. And we know that it is easy to survive as a believer in the state of Adam. It's very hard as in the state of the devil as a believer. And there's this promise that was given to the prophets and the messengers. And that promise in the narrations was that one day that state of Adam would be reestablished again. We had it in the very beginning, and one day it will come back again. And that's what all of the works of the prophets and the messengers, what their aim has been to reestablish this state. That is what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi was trying to do when he migrated from Mecca to Medina, and then he ruled over the Muslims over there. Muhammad was not just a prophet for them. He was the caliph. His successors were the caliphs, right? And the caliphs had religious and political authority. So Muhammad was like the Muslim pope, so to speak. He ruled over them. He was trying to establish a divine just state. He was trying to return back that state of Eden and, have a heaven on earth once again. Jesus Christ, before he was betrayed, he was sent as what? As the Messiah. What was the Messiah supposed to do? And what were the Jews waiting for the Messiah to do? They were waiting for him to establish justice on the earth and to rule over them, as their religious head, but also as their king, right? Mm-hmm. Their savior, who will establish a divine just state and ensure that the believers are no longer suffering. He would free the Jewish state from the occupation of the Romans. The same thing with Moses. Moses sought to lead the Israelites out of the state of Pharaoh, which was the state of the devil, and into a new promised land, a divine just state where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rule is established. And so there's been in the narrations this dream that the prophets and the messengers, this promise from God, that the prophets and the messengers would rule. A new Garden of Eden would happen on the earth. But that promise was consistently and always delayed. No prophet or messenger were able to establish that. And in the narrations of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, this matter is very clear. And that's why you have narrations where Moses looks into the Torah, right, in one narrations, and he sees all of these accomplishments that the Qa'im in the end time is able to accomplish, and he wishes that he be the Qa'im, or he wishes that he's in that time of the Qa'im. And you also have other narrations where the prophets and the messengers wished to return in that time in the future where this divine just state is established and the promise is completed, right?
Yes.
And so that's what they worked for. They worked to pave the path in order that this state may be established. So how did they do that? They spread the word of God. They tried to convert people from disbelief into belief. They laid the bricks and the foundation down so that when the time came for the establishment of the promise could be fulfilled with the backing of many believers from various religious traditions, because they all believe and are looking forward to the establishment of this state. And you also have all the way down the path, Iblis constantly rearranging the bricks after the death of each and every prophet and messenger, and trying to misguide the nations in order that he may avoid the establishment of that state. Why does he want to avoid the establishment of that state? Well, because quite simply, in the Quran and also in some of the Gnostic scriptures that exist, Iblis, la'natullah alayh, Satan, he asks God for a time period. God grants it to him, but he knows that at the end of that time that he was granted, that he will be judged. Judgment will occur for Iblis. And the narrations of Muhammad and the family of Muhammad speak about how at the very end, Iblis will be slaughtered and he will be killed and he will be presented for judgment in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the earth will be filled with prosperity and with peace. And so he's trying to avoid the inevitable. He's trying to avoid being killed. He's trying to avoid his judgment day. Okay? So now we have a judgment day that occurs with Iblis. Now, what's interesting about the narrations that speak about the death of Iblis is that there are narrations that speak about the death of Iblis twice in two different ways. In one way, Iblis is killed at the hands of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and other narrations speak about the fact that Iblis is killed at the hands of the Qa'im. And the narrations which speak about him being killed at the hands of the Qa'im actually specify a place on earth, which is in Masjid al-Kufa or in areas that surround that, depending on the narration, that is the location whereby Iblis is brought out and he is slaughtered at the hands of the Qa'im. And then after that, all of his Shia, his helpers, his supporters, his followers are defeated and a divine just state is established. Okay? So what do we have? We have this judgment of Iblis that's taking place in the hereafter, and we have a judgment of Iblis that's taking place on the earth. And when we look closer into the narrations, we find that there is this concept that's there, exactly there, in both Sunni and Shia Islam, this idea that there are two qiyamas, there are two judgment days, there are two days of resurrection, there are two days of Qiyam, and the word Qiyam ties and has a lot to do with the word Qa'im, right? Yes. So let's delve into it a little bit. We have narrations that speak about a judgment day that occurs in the hereafter, whereby all of the people, all the souls are brought forward in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a terrible day where those who have done bad are judged for their sins and they are placed into the hellfire. And those who did good, it's a good day for them and they are rewarded and they enter into paradise. But it is a terrifying day because nobody, neither the good nor the bad, are feeling secure about themselves, and they are all nervous and afraid of being judged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a day where people receive their report card, their grade, so to speak. And you have narrations which speak about a lesser day of judgment. So you have al-Qiyam al-Kubra and al-Qiyam al-Sughra, right? The greater day of judgment and the lesser day of judgment. When we look into the narrations of Muhammad and the family of Muhammad to try to find out what is the definition of the lesser day of judgment or Al-Qiyam al-Sughra, you find in there that the definition of the Qiyam al-Sughra is the day of the rise of the Qa'im. So Al-Qiyam al-Sughra is Yawm Qiyam al-Qa'im. Al-Qiyama, Yawm al-Qiyam. Al-Qiyama, the day of judgment or the day of the rising, all right, or the day of resurrection. That's why they sometimes translate it as the day of judgment and sometimes they translate it as the day of resurrection, because it's actually a rise. That's what the word itself means. So the lesser Qiyama is the day of the rise of the Qa'im or the riser. Okay? Mm-hmm. And so you have two judgment days, one that's happening in the hereafter, one that's happening on earth. And in the narrations of Muhammad and the family of Muhammad, they clarify even further when we go to look into the narrations that speak about the Qiyam itself. We find that it is a day, a time where Iblis's promise, has been fulfilled by God. He was given all of the allotted time that he deserved in exchange for all of those acts of worship that he had done previously. And he is brought forward in human form on the earth. He incarnates or is existing on the planet in human form, as well as all of his helpers and supporters throughout history. They are all gathered with him on that day on the earth. So that's fascinating. In the hereafter, all right, in the greater day of judgment, God brings forward all of the bad people, all of the tyrants, all of the souls. On the day of the lesser judgment, God also brings forward on the earth Iblis alongside with all of his supporters. So what does that mean? That means that in the time of the Qiyam, of the Qa'im, Iblis would be here in human form, as well as Pharaoh and Nimrod and Pontius Pilate and Abu Lahab and Abu Jahl and Judas Iscariot and Balaam ibn Ba'ura and all of the evil characters and souls that aided Iblis throughout history in fighting against the prophets and the messengers and helping Iblis prolong his state and his stay here on earth, or his rule here on earth. And the narrations also clarify that on that day, the Qa'im arrives, and also God gathers what? Just like in the hereafter, he gathers with the Qa'im all of the best of the best of the souls, right? All of those people that helped God throughout history pave the way for the fulfillment of the prophet promise. They also are all resurrected with the Qa'im in that time so that they may be part of this great judgment that takes place. And so you have the 124,000 prophets and messengers and all the vicegerents and saints. That's why you have in the Gospels, you have in the New Testament, you have the scene of the Lamb coming back with 144,000 souls. Those were the souls of all the prophets and the messengers and the righteous ones. And so they're resurrected with the Qa'im in that time, and the Qa'im judges amongst them all, or Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam judges amongst them all. And that is God's judgment, and he enables all of the righteous ones whom were previously oppressed by evil ones to take revenge from them. And so the karmic dues are paid on that day. Iblis is killed, and so are all of the other demon followers and helpers of his that existed throughout history. And so you might have a thing where, for example, Pharaoh is, Moses takes revenge against him, and Abraham takes revenge against Nimrod, and Jesus takes revenge against, Pontius Pilate or against Judas Iscariot. And so all dues are paid on that day. And so you have the greater judgment in the hereafter and a lesser judgment. And that is a fascinating concept, because that means that since we are believers and firm believers, that then we know for a fact that this is the day of the rise of the Qa'im and the appearance of the Qa'im. That's why we know also that we are actually living in and witnessing Judgment Day. That is what is taking place here right now. And so we see very clearly, the whole world, there's no disagreement upon that, that the it seems to be the worst times that we've ever experienced, and that we have right now, like, very unqualified, evil, bad people that are making horrible decisions for the planet Earth right now in almost every single sector of society and industry. And that's why you are finding that everything is corrupt, and there's corruption all over the place, because Iblis and all of the worst are empowered in this very day and age, and they are on the verge of facing an international revolution, which is led by the Qa'im and supported by the prophets and the messengers and the righteous at this very day, where judgment will be carried out against the oppressors and a shift of power will take place, and Iblis eventually will be eliminated. And just like in the hereafter, when judgment is done and all is said and done, and those who are good are commanded to enter into paradise and those who are evil are commanded to go into hellfire, the same thing happens here on earth with a physical paradise and a physical hell, right? And that physical paradise is the state of Adam, the divine just state, which is reestablished in this day and age, in which the believers now who were once suffering in the state of Iblis will now be at peace and enjoy the freedoms and the prosperity and the peace that will exist in the divine just state. So that return to the Garden of Eden is a return to paradise. That return to the rulership of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the creation of the divine just state is actually the manifestation and the creation of a paradise on earth, which we once lost and now we have found or will find once again. And the disbelievers will be exiled from that paradise, and they will be condemned in the divine just state, and they will be imprisoned for their crime, and they will suffer in the divine just state retribution for all of the crimes and the filth and the conspiracies that they committed to enslave mankind and keep them oppressed in the under the state of the devil, la'natullah
alayhi.
So that, in brief, is an explanation of the two states that exist in the narrations of Muhammad and the family of Muhammad. There's only two of them, a state of Adam, a state of Iblis. The state of Adam, it existed in the beginning, and we haven't seen that state return until this very day and age. And even when you had periods of time where the prophets and messengers were ruling over particular areas, they were not true states of Adam, because they were states that were always under attack by Iblis. So when the Prophet was ruling even over the thousands upon thousands of Muslims that were his followers during the latter part of his life and the latter part of his prophethood, they were constantly under attack by the foreign enemies, right? Or the tribes of Quraysh. And so it was not a true paradise. The true paradise is one that is established in the end without suffering, and that encompasses a large area, and where the prophet or the messenger and the believers are truly enabled and have capability, and that there's no chance of the hypocrites and the disbelievers ruling once again. Thank you so much for joining me, Luqman.
Thank you, Father.
And God bless you. And inshallah, we'll gather again for another episode.
Inshallah. Thank you so much.